If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast.
Well, hang on. You're jumping the gun.
Wait, jumping the gun.
Because the first thing I need to do is part of our listener base.
It's going to be amazing, guys.
Is our Patreon community. Is there anybody here who is a Patreon member? Our patros.
Yay, patros.
Thank you,
guys. Yeah, so our patros, as we started calling them, are people who support us on Patreon. So they financially, every single month, give us a little bit of money out of the goodness of their hearts. Mm-hmm. In order for us to be able to keep making this podcast, in order for us to be able to go on tour, in order for us to be able to be here tonight talking to you guys. So thank you so much to our patros.
And buying a bunch of booze for you, so hopefully you were able
Please
to get
enjoying.
That. Yes, can
no,
I?
It,
now is
it.
The time?
Yeah,
yes, yes.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking about ethical unicorn hunting.
I had to bring it out, I'm sorry.
So, for those of you who don't know, the term unicorn hunting has to do with couple, generally a heterosexual couple, actually I think always a heterosexual couple, who are seeking a female bisexual who's equally attracted to both of them and doesn't want to date anybody else.
Uh-huh. And sometimes they also want to help clean the house, may want to live with a couple, may want to help with child rearing, but will disappear if any like family members come by or coworkers come by conveniently.
So this is...
hence the term unicorn, because a person who wants that is very, very difficult to find,
right,
as it turns out.
They're called unicorns because maybe they don't exist or they're incredibly rare. Mm-hmm. And we did want to clarify something for the purposes of this episode here, and that is the difference between a couple seeking a unicorn and a triad. So a triad is three people who are all in a relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Whereas a unicorn situation is where one person is dating not two people, but dating sort of the idea of them as a couple.
It's a little more amorphous.
It's a little more of this amorphous thing, and inherently has some problematic power dynamics and things like that. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to get to in this episode, because it's something that we generally speak pretty negatively about, is the idea of unicorn hunting.
Yeah, the term unicorn hunters is used in the pejorative, usually in the poly community. It's not a friendly term.
For people who kind of don't quite get how to treat people respectfully and ethically.
And we have tended to bash it a bit on the show.
Right.
But we kind of wanted to not do that tonight and talk about how we can do it ethically.
How you can ethically source your unicorns.
Yes.
Free range.
You free range organic
free range
unicorns.
Portland,
I'm sorry, we
Seattle.
Did. Yeah, we just
we've
came
been in Berkeley,
from.
Like, we've got the lingo down.
Yes. Oh, man.
Right. So anyway, so just so you understand sort of the differentiation there, when we talk about unicorn hunting, we do mean it a little bit to mean that kind of more negative way that people go about it. And this episode is about, as a couple, it's perfectly fine and can be perfectly ethical to look for a third person to date. But there are ways to do it that kind of dehumanize them a little bit, such as unicorn hunting. And there are ways to do it that really lifts up all of you and does honor everyone's independence and the, I want to say, sovereignty of each relationship, but that's
forget
really
the states'
weird.
Rights here, yeah. Something like that.
Yes.
And I mean, the reason why this is so relevant is that for a lot of people, you know, the idea of hopping into a non-traditional or a non-monogamous relationship cold turkey is very scary. Mm-hmm. A lot of people come to this lifestyle already coupled, you know, already part of a monogamous or monogamish couple. And so you know, unicorn hunters abound because of the fact that this is, you know, to a lot of people, it feels safer. Like, I already have my primary partner with me, and we have a history, and we trust each other. And so this will be a journey that we take together. You know, we'll date the same person at the same time. It'll be great.
And often it's an entry point into polyamory.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it is their first entry point into polyamory.
And I also did just want to throw out a fun term for those of you who hadn't heard it yet, that the male version of this, because they do exist, is called a Pegasus.
That's not official. We just coined that, but we really wanted to catch Cooper Beckett coined that.
Yeah. And he told us, and we were like, that's great.
No, I thought... Cooper was referring to a Pegasus was a man who liked to get pegged.
But he referred to it...
like, that was a Pegasus.
But he was referring to it specifically as one who would be with a couple.
And also like to get pegged.
Yeah, so he wants to get... Yeah.
Okay, all right, I got it.
Yeah,
pegged by a couple.
That's why the name
there
is
it
clever.
Is.
Okay.
Right? Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're claiming that name and making it work for anything like that.
But kind of the second part of this is not only does it feel very safe for a lot of couples, the reason why it's usually a woman, as opposed to a Pegasus, is because for some reason we see women as being safer. We see, especially, you know, female bisexuality as being much safer than male bisexuality. And so, of course, you know, human beings come in every color of the rainbow as far as sexuality and gender expression is concerned. But the predominant thing that we see heterosexual couples doing is seeking a woman and no man, but just a bisexual woman.
The hot bi babe.
The hot bi babe effect is what it's called.
And what we're not going to cover so much in this episode is something you'll have to go to our other episodes to hear about. But is some of those inherent cultural assumptions that we have that relationships with men are more serious, whether it's gay men or whether it's a woman with a man or whatever, there is kind of this cultural thing that we're taught that those somehow are more threatening, that they're scarier.
Real.
We were talking with a woman in Portland, I think, or Oakland, I don't even know. In Oakland, who was talking about that dynamic where her and her long-term girlfriend, she'd met other girls that she dated, but to meet her first male partner was a lot more threatening. Mm-hmm. And there is something there, that there's something culturally, this importance that we put on men's relationships. Mm-hmm. So if you think about, real quick, like a bisexual woman, it's like, oh, yeah, she's straight. Like, we call Angelina Jolie straight, right? The newspapers call her straight, even though she said very plainly, I date both men and women. And we go, she's straight, but she just has girlish fun. That's cool. And then we have a guy, like, say, Channing Tatum. Well, maybe that's a bad example. I just always think of Channing Tatum.
I never think of Channing Tatum. I wish you wouldn't think of Channing Tatum. Just stop.
He's beautiful.
He is a very attractive human.
No, I don't.
But we take a bisexual man... We hear that a man is bisexual, and the cultural narrative is like, oh, he's gay and hasn't quite gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm. He's gay and still wants straight privilege, often is the narrative around it.
Yeah, right. So anyway, there's kind of those dynamics. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that a lot more in some other episodes, but I just wanted to get that out there and kind of clarify. There are some real gender dynamics at play here in the way that our culture looks at sexuality and gender.
Yeah. But first, we wanted to pose a question for the audience, and that is going to be, what are some motivations or reasons for a couple to seek a third?
Yeah, why would anybody want a unicorn?
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Sounds fun, says the person who's dying in the front row.
Yeah. can you clarify more?
What makes it sound fun?
I don't know. It's like a playmate.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's like a sexual, yeah, it's like a group sex thing. Okay, you want to have a threesome.
Yeah.
What else?
Annie.
Free
hitting,
exactly.
Yes.
Why the heck not?
Intimacy. I mean, you know, to be in love with somebody who's also in love with somebody that you're in love and you can all be together. I mean, that's...
Yeah. That's, I mean, and obviously that's also an appeal of triad relationships
in
general. The idea that it's kind of like you get this exponential increase in intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Also
mm-hmm.
problems sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, too.
I see Hans just shout out.
Just shout out.
As an antidote, you know, if their relationship needs a little something to kind of spice it up and
they're
having a problem or an issue, maybe that would be like a resolution to it.
Yeah, bring a woman into the bedroom to kind of make things exciting again.
I thought of a good one that's actually mentioned in the book, which is different sexual proclivities. So, for example, if you...
My book?
Yes.
Whoa.
Your book.
That's awesome.
It's a good bug.
One of the good things about it is that if you have certain proclivities, like your significant other only likes vanilla bean sex, but you prefer to have sort of BDSM aspects, you can sort of get that out on the third individual.
And yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The fun of the hunt.
Somebody to interrupt your arguments and play free.
That was kind of like the function that our roadie Paul had on this entire tour.
Divorce child, like
Anything else before we move on?
I was thinking like a safe introductory into non-monogamy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Historical precedents for it.
Yes.
So it makes it more comfortable and accessible.
Yeah, there's a lot of historical precedents for it, for sure. Yeah.
To have a secret between the two of you.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to tell anyone about this third, but she's our little kept person.
That is, that does play into the, like, kind of bringing something spicy back into the bedroom.
Absolutely.
You know, something that's still a little bit taboo or a little bit kind of, you know, beyond the pale, as it were.
Yeah. So the reason why we wanted to ask these questions is because if you are in a couple and you're thinking about, you know, adding a third or finding someone to date together, it is really important to clarify why. Mm. Why is it that you're looking for this? Mm-hmm. And depending on your answer, if you're really honest with yourselves, depending on your answer, adding a unicorn or having a triad might not actually be what's going to serve that the best.
Yeah, so something that I did explore in my book.
As a published author.
As a published author. I need my glasses.
Oh my God.
As a published author. Anyway, so I kind of, what I've seen among the people that I know in my own circle, what I've seen with my clients is that sometimes people realize what it is that they want, but they kind of seek the right thing through the wrong channels. And what I mean by that is maybe somebody wants that, like, increased, like, triad intimacy. Like, they want to be able to have intimacy with multiple partners, maybe sharing that partner with another partner. And they really are interested, like, maybe in the sexual aspect, but kind of in this ongoing developing intimacy, developing a connection with this third person together. And maybe they seek, the only way they know how to seek that is to, like, get into the swinger scene where these things are okay. Like, go to a sex party. Which there's obviously nothing wrong with swingers parties or sex parties, but, you know, that person may come away kind of feeling like a piece of meat a little bit. Versus on the other side, if someone's really interested in, like, you know what, I kind of am just curious to explore group sex or threesomes or have a regular threesome partner, but maybe they choose to explore that through getting into a triad relationship with a third, and they're not expecting having to actually take care of this person's emotions and actually care for this person when they were just expecting it to be a sexual thing. And so obviously people can walk away from that situation getting very hurt. So, you know, we ask these questions because it is really important to clarify, like, what actually is it that I'm seeking or that we are seeking in bringing a third person into our relationship?
No. Right. And so, like, for example, we wanted to clarify the difference between, you know, say you do want to have an ongoing threesome dynamic. That there is one way that can look, which is...
To clarify, like, threesome as in, like
group
sexual
sex.
Threesome?
I mean a sexual threesome, I mean a sexual threesome that also has this emotional component. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe they would eventually live with you, or, you know, obviously don't rush into that. But with anybody, don't rush
tomorrow.
Into that.
Yeah.
Right, but there's, you know, where you want to build this relationship. Like, you have this kind of idea of starting this three-person ongoing romantic relationship. And then on the other hand, there's having an ongoing threesome dynamic that's just sexual. That's like, hey, we want to have threesomes, but rather than, like, always just trying to, like, pick people up or going to sex parties or whatever, we would like to have someone who's a consistent partner, but that is just for sex. And that getting clear on that, you know, amongst the other examples that Dedeker was talking about, getting really clear on that will help you to be more honest and more upfront with the people that you're talking to about this.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there who are like, yeah, occasional threesomes with this couple that I don't have to do any emotional management for. Like,
sounds pretty
that
awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Right? And then there are other people who are like, no, like, I'm actually looking for more of an established emotional thing. But either one of those, there are people looking for that. And the clearer you can get as to what you're looking for will help you find it. And also, like Dedeker was saying, if it is maybe you just want to experiment with group sex, go to a play party. Go to a dungeon. Go to a swingers party. Like, try those things. Don't necessarily, like, rope someone into dating the two of you if really all you want is just to kind of do some sex play.
Okay, so we're going to throw another question out there.
Yeah.
Why would a person want to date a couple?
Like, what motivation would the unicorn have
for dating
a couple?
Two people.
Yeah.
Establish love that you can hook right into and emotional.
Just like a USB port. You're just like, yeah, there we go.
There's a relationship.
Not in a position to have your own standalone relationship, having some sort of companionship you can tap into.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a common one of you know, maybe someone who doesn't necessarily want to start a romantic relationship of their own, or maybe doesn't have the energy or time for that, that they can just kind of hook into that. What else?
Okay. Go for it. Just do it. Shout it.
Whoever shouts the loudest.
Shout loud.
Could be the center of attention, I guess.
Yeah.
More than one person that's to you.
For sure. Some people like the idea, like, I'm the new shiny toy. Some people hate that, but some people also love that.
You could be curious about the couple's dynamic. Maybe, you know, you've never been married and they are married. You want insight into that.
Sexual espionage.
Sexual espionage. I like
love
that.
That's amazing.
It could be an intro to polyamory for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That is also another access point for a lot of people is like, well, I'm dating this couple and that's, you know, their first time they're ever exposed to any kind of non-monogamous relationship. What else?
There might be a perceived less emotional baggage. Like, they don't have to deal with one of them having any kind of jealousy or something. They get to deal with each other's emotional baggage. So you just get the sex component without having to deal with the relationship.
It would be nice if it worked out that way. In a perfect world, that is how it would go.
I'm just renting, I'm not owning.
For some people, I think both on the couple side and on the unicorn side, sometimes this is just a wonderful safe space to explore bisexuality. You know, if you're feeling too intimidated to pursue someone of the same sex on your own, or if you feel that that's inaccessible to you on both sides, it can be kind of like, well, maybe if we do this together, that's a good way for me to explore that, both with female bisexuality and male bisexuality as well.
Right, that it's like, you can say like, oh, well, I can see what it's like to play with this gender that I haven't before, whether that's male or female, but I still kind of have this thing I know gets me off, right? So it's like, okay, here's this safe space for me to play with this and kind of
which some people interpret as like a good way of like taking care of yourself and knowing your needs and creating a safe space. And some people say that's chicken shit. And you're a coward.
Maybe you're attached to both people, like you've been friends with the couple for a long time, and one night, I don't know, something happens, and then all of a sudden we're making out on the couch, and, you know, it gets exciting, and that's a nice way kind of to enter into a relationship like that. Sounds pretty fun to me.
Another one I wanted to throw out there is just because you're open to a new experience and this couple approached you. Yeah. And I think that a lot of people maybe get into this the first time that way, where they meet this couple, it's like, oh yeah, we have this open relationship, or we're polyamorous, or even not, whatever it is. And they say, hey, and we think you're cute. Like, what do you think? And it is kind of that, just like, well, sure. Why not?
That sounds fun.
You know, which could then end up being their gateway into polyamory. Or could
the
be...
The gateway drug, is of course.
Right.
Exactly.
Or could be the thing that makes them go, this is fucked up, I'm never going to try this again.
Yeah.
Right? All of those are possible. So again, now, getting clear on that side of it, on like what is that third person's motivation for being in this relationship, is also really helpful to clarify. Because like we were saying, what if their whole purpose is that I want to have a relationship where I don't have to do any emotional maintenance, right? I can show up and get adored by this couple that's already solid and established, and then I can leave. And what if the couple is looking for, we really want someone to like nest with and build a house with and maybe raise our kids with or something like that? You can see how that could be a problem. And the reason why this is a problem, in my humble opinion, is because we don't talk about it. We're not explicit about what it is that we want. Mm-hmm. Usually because we're not even clear with ourselves, but even if we are, there's kind of this hesitation to communicating about it.
Yeah.
Because there's this fear of a value judgment. Mm-hmm. There's this fear that if I say, like, you know, I'm kind of only looking for sex from you guys, that makes you slutty, right?
Yeah.
Or that somehow is a bad answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing on the part of the couple. Or maybe if the third is like, I really do want this emotional relationship with the two of you and kind of want to get to be part of this solid established love that the two of you have from your 10 years of marriage or whatever, maybe is freaked out of like, whoa, that sounds super forward to say that.
Well, it's so interesting because if you look at most traditional advice about threesome specifically, because in the mainstream, we're not really talking about triads, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
That most of the advice specifically around threesomes is just about like, okay, here's how to pull off a threesome and here's how to get them out of your house as fast as possible and minimize the damage to your relationship. And here's how to do damage control afterwards.
Yeah.
We don't yet have a big overarching narrative in the mainstream about, no, this could be a good thing, this could be a healthy thing, whether it is just a one-night stand or an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
And so we're not used to talking about that. We're not used to actually having those kind of really direct conversations about what it is that we're looking for when it comes to this three-person dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a really good article out there recently in Together magazine, and it was titled, I am the unicorn couple search for. I'd rather date a stable, happy couple than a series of Tinder fuckboys. And I am not alone. Which I kind of loved because, again, we even on this show don't often talk about the good reasons for entering into a relationship like this. And I really appreciated this woman interviewed a ton of different people who had been in relationships with couples, and one of the very big reasons why I thought, wow, okay, this is a good reason to get into a relationship like this, was people who had been through abuse in past relationships. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had just been through a divorce and they decided to go and enter into a couple, and it was a nice like gateway back into being into an established good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit less intimidating than being like, okay, I'm going to try to date again and maybe find another person that is going to abuse me more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a nice way, I think, to enter back into that. And also, I mean, as a society, we're set up to say, okay, dating is fine. You may go to a bar and you may pick someone up and then you may go home with them. And that's totally cool. And she did interview a lot of people whose friends were very not okay with them going home with a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this very odd, double standard kind of.
I really want to read this quote
article. It's a great quote.
She says, if you think unicorning is fucked up, consider the alternatives available to young women seeking to explore their sexuality.
Yeah.
Drunken hookups, fuckboys, Machiavellian Tinder dates, and creepy older guys leveraging their money for pseudo-escort situations. Obviously, that's a pretty bleak look at what dating
however.
Is like. However, she does make a valid point of that, especially if you're kind of in that in-between space, in between really serious relationships, maybe if you're still healing from a breakup or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a really good, potentially therapeutic experience.
Yeah.
Again, to kind of be able to be involved in this good, established relationship and kind of enjoy that.
We've talked a lot
provided a couple doesn't fuck it up, which they usually do.
Well, exactly. But if they don't, I mean, that's the thing. We don't often, we've talked about on this show before how we don't have a lot of, like, great people out there in
role models.
Role models that are great polyamorous role models, and if a third is entering into a relationship with a great polyamorous role model, that can be a great gateway into polyamory for them.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
So, but that's a great point, is that if
they're
entering into a relationship with a great poly role model.
Sure.
And
a big if.
I would bet that in this audience right now, there are some people who have dated a couple that have been a not so good example of what it's like to date a couple.
Sure.
And I guess what we kind of want to get to in this episode is really talking about how you can be that great couple.
Mm-hmm.
How you can be that couple that is the amazing example of how this can work. And even if that relationship with that third doesn't last, that it's still something that was done ethically and with a lot of respect for everybody that's involved. That's kind of the key part of our title, ethical unicorn hunting.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, when I have a lot of clients who come to me, like, as I said, this is usually a very safe way, you know, it's like the safest first step for couples to open up their relationship. And so I do have a lot of married couples or couples have been together a long time that come to me and ask about, well, you know, we want to add a third to our relationship. How do we even do that? Are we ready for that? Is that a terrible idea? Is that a good idea? And there's a litmus test that I give people, and they really don't like it. Generally, so what I tell people is like, okay, so let's imagine you have your third in mind. Usually they have someone already picked out in mind. You know, you
it's
have
like
your,
a friend of theirs.
You have your hot guy babe that you're both attracted to, that you're ready to go after, and you want, and you know that you don't want this necessarily to just be a sex thing. You want to actually be in a triad relationship with this person. As I tell them, like, okay, so picture in your mind's eye, can you picture your partner going out on a date with this woman alone, like without you? Can you imagine your partner having sex with this woman alone, without you, like you're not involved? You know, and maybe can you picture yourself alone having sex with this woman or going on a date with this woman? And if the thought of that makes you want to puke all over everything, you may not be ready to add a third to your relationship. Because there's kind of this fallacy that people assume, well, if we're a couple together and if we're dating the same person at the same time, that means no jealousy, right?
Yeah.
That means, and, you know, as long as we're both there, as long as there's no sex happening or no dating happening, you know, unless we're both there, then everything will be great. Which, unfortunately, is not the reality. The reality is, even if you try to make it so that, okay, we only have sex with this person together, we only go on dates with this person together, it's still 100% possible to get really, really jealous.
Yeah.
Because jealousy is an emotion. It's not necessarily logical, you know? And so while it may, you know, work out on paper, very logically and neatly and rationally, unfortunately, human emotions don't quite work that way.
Because if feelings were logical, we would call them thinkings.
Thank you, Jace.
The more you know. So that is, you know, that is a very important litmus test. And especially if you are in a couple and you are thinking about dating a third person, I think that's a very important question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if you think of that and it still makes you feel a little weird, it doesn't mean all hope is lost. It doesn't mean there's no way you can pull this off. But it may be, you know, time to just examine some things. Examine, like, what would need to happen in order for that to be okay. In order for this unicorn to be able to have autonomous, independent relationships with both of us and a good relationship with all the three of us together.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to talk about, you know, we talked about clarifying why it is that you're entering, like, why it is that this couple is looking for a third, and also why that third is looking for the couple. And it is fair to say, like, maybe we're flexible about that. Maybe we don't just have one goal in mind. Like, we're open to an ongoing emotional relationship, or we're open to something that is just sexual, or maybe we're open to even not having a sexual relationship with them and just kind of inviting them into our life to kind of build that emotional intimacy, or to even like very explicitly be those poly role models. Like, maybe it is someone who just wants to see that. And all those things are okay. And if you are flexible about it, though, it can be tempting to be like, well, we're cool with whatever, so we'll just let it play out how it does. But I do want to stress how important it is to understand what it is they're looking for, and to make that communication clear, because if it is, it'll help them to be able to actually seek what it is that they want from this relationship, right? Like, maybe they haven't totally figured that out, and if you are the established couple, you are the ones with the power here in this dynamic. So by you coming to them and saying, hey, look, what is it that you want? And maybe even repeatedly asking that, getting really clear on that, can help them and also will help you to be able to give them what they want, which is then going to make the relationship more rewarding for you. Kind of everybody is happier if you're not only asking for what you want, but also making a safe space for them to get clear on what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jace mentioned the fact that there is this automatic power dynamic set up when there is someone who comes to date a couple, when there is a couple seeking a third. We kind of compare it to shapes as a thing. It's like, so if you think about a triad, like a triad relationship is a relationship between three people. It's a triangle. But the thing is that when there's a unicorn hunting situation is that usually the way it's treated is more like a T, is that there's the established couple who's dating this third person.
and it, God, it really gets my goat, but people...
Gets my goat. I'm so sorry.
It does, though.
You guys are mean to each other sometimes.
Because we love each other.
I know.
So much. Is because, I mean, at least to this dynamic where couples will refer to their to someone as like, oh, this is our third.
Yeah. Mm.
This is our girlfriend.
It's a language and,
like,
it's, thing.
I know. It's a very small, nitpicky language thing. But language... Jace wrote down here, language is magic.
It's true.
Language is everything.
Like, language is powerful, and so to put it in those terms of like, oh, this is our girlfriend, this is our third, it always just like makes my skin crawl, because yeah. It is this weird like ownership thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they are their own person within the relationship.
Yeah, you know, and so
and
I know
should be
like,
treated
I,
as such.
I try to think about alternatives, you know. I know in triad relationships that I've been that weren't necessarily unicorn situations, but it would be like, oh, this is so-and-so who's my boyfriend. And he's also my boyfriend's boyfriend, as opposed to this is our boyfriend. Like it just like it creeps me out a little bit less that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've also found that I kind of even without intentionally thinking about it, have gravitated towards saying, "Oh, like this is so and so that me and Rachel are dating." Mm-hmm. I just made up a new girlfriend named
Rachel.
That's
cool. That's great.
The fuck's Rachel?
Right, but like, hey, this is a girl that we're both dating. Mm-hmm. It's still like simple and compact and easy to explain, especially if the person you're talking to already knows who Rachel is, mm-hmm. unlike everybody here. Right, that this is someone we're both dating, as opposed to being our girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to that idea of a unicorn versus a triad. Mm-hmm. And we haven't talked about shapes yet, right?
We just talked about shapes.
Where were you? Were you with Rachel? Were you with Rachel? What's happening?
He was thinking about Rachel.
I was.
Yeah. No,
I was reminiscing about...
Okay.
All right, the Princess Puppy, the man in the high tower.
Yes,
or the
something
lady.
Like that.
Yeah.
So again, with this, you know, when you refer to someone as like our girlfriend, our third... I think when we start to talk about these things, you know, talking about the ways that you can be a good couple, the ways that you can really honor a unicorn's autonomy and independence and, you know, being an individual, mm-hmm. the couples can get really defensive, be like, well, we're going to treat our unicorn well. Like, we're not going to be mean to her. We're not going to abuse her.
We're
like,
not going to kick her puppy.
You know, you know, but that's the thing is that you can treat someone very, very well, but still rob them of their autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the princess/puppy effect. Like, you can, like a princess, you can keep a princess, you can put her up on this pedestal and talk about how beautiful and how wonderful she is, but still lock her up in a tower and not let her get to make any decisions. Or like having a puppy. You know, you can love the puppy, you can train the puppy, you can cuddle the puppy, you can enjoy so much of what the puppy brings to your life, but the puppy doesn't get to make any decisions in your relationship, usually. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, couples often confuse being nice to a unicorn with actually, like, respecting the unicorn. And that's something that's like, it's very important to kind of cut through that misunderstanding, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And so that's really...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on adammail.com and evestoys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I at adamandeve.com, adammail.com, or evestoys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
How do I even say this? Like, that's really what we're getting to here with the ethical part, is making, clarifying that difference between mm-hmm. what does it mean to be nice to someone versus treat them as an individual. Something that we've talked about before on this show about triads is the idea that a triad is not one relationship. So I know some people, like when you're in polyamory, you think, God, I have, like, it takes so much time to date all these people. Ooh, aha. What if?
What if? Two people at the same time.
I dated two people who were also dating each other, yeah. So then we're just a triad and it's only one, and I only have to do one relationship worth of work.
No.
To be able to date two
you're
people.
You're going to add so many more to your life.
Right? Because then we all have dates together, and that saves my time, right? That's going to be
my
great.
Money. Yeah.
But something that we've talked about a lot on this show is the idea that a triad is actually four relationships. That there's the relationship between each of those three people, so each side of the triangle.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
And then there's and then there's also this three-person relationship that is the three of you. And that all three of those are changing all the time. And all three of those require maintenance and require attention, mm-hmm. require you to pay attention to them, right? That I can't only pay attention to this group and ignore the fact that I have a relationship with this person and with this other person, mm-hmm. right?
And the reason that we're all able to come up here and talk to you guys about this tonight is because we've all made a lot of fuck-ups exploring this.
It's time for some truth here. So, a long time ago in a city known as Van Nuys, I caught a unicorn. I'm an amazing unicorn hunter, which is interesting because I'm vegan, so I don't really hunt things. But I caught a unicorn with Jace. We both did that, and then one with Josh, and it was the same one.
Well, I had the same unicorn twice.
Yes, I had the same relationship, a different relationship, obviously, but mm-hmm. With a lovely girl named Hallie, and it was interesting because the common denominator besides her in all of those relationships was me. So I realized kind of at the end and the eventual end of both of these, maybe I am doing something a little wrong here. And looking back at it, I realized, I think that the reason for getting into those relationships with Jace and then Josh was because I did have this idea of self-preservation in my mind that, oh, it's just going to be easy and we'll love the same person or have fun and play with the same person. And therefore, the kind of emotional work won't have to be there as much. And in both times, it sort of ended very badly and unfortunately... That was that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I definitely had to think about, like, what was my part in all of that and how could I have done it better?
The unicorn was released back into the wild.
Yes.
Safely.
We didn't kill her.
Yeah.
No, we didn't hunt her. Yeah, she was released back in the wild. Nice girl, but...
I mean, so what were some of those things that in looking back, you've thought, oh man, I could have done...
I think there was this idea from all of us that, well, the couple comes first and everything else just kind of, I don't know, it's free for all. But it seemed as though we kind of all had that in mind. And so it did become this sort of relationship just with the couple, and that was it, and not sort of
so
these
like that
different
T-shape.
Relationships. Yeah, it was sort of a T-shape, I think, each time, and I wonder if they had known that they could have a relationship with each of us, if that would have made a difference, and maybe they would have stuck around longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? I guess I will share a personal experience of mine, being that actually of the three of us, mm-hmm. I am the only mythical horse in this group.
Take that, gender norms.
Yeah, take that.
I know. No, right? Yeah, you get the hat now.
Hold on.
It was a lie.
Yes.
The unicorn was a lie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Is it? Does...
Yeah.
I'm super sexy right now. Uh-huh.
I'm pulling it off, right?
Yeah.
Right, so... So there is I'm dating a couple. And actually, of the three of us, I'm the only one who has dated an established couple like that.
You've been a Pegasus.
Yes.
We have not been unicorns.
No.
Right. You've been a Pegasus. I'm the only mythical horse in the bunch. And should I? It's too distracting.
I think you're done now. Yeah. You're done.
Right. But so the thing I've found about that experience, which is, you know, only something in the past maybe 6 months or so for me, is it's given me some insights into why that relationship can be really good and also why it can be freaky as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be terrifying. So, first of all, I want to share some of the positives first.
Yeah.
We'll go positives first.
Yeah.
And that is having that established relationship, right? That I can hang out with them. We can have a date night of watching Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
And having a cheese plate. And
no, no.
Right. We can have this great time. And can have sex. And it's awesome. I get to experiment with that. It's cool. And then I also get to leave, or I can spend the night and then leave. But it's kind of their relationship. Like, a lot of the sort of day-to-day work of being there for each other and all of that, they already have. They're already doing that.
You've got to take care of Rachel. You got your hands full.
Rachel is a handful. So, right? So being able to date this couple is nice because I get to come in and enjoy that. And also, there's something nice about being the shiny toy that gets to show up, and both of the people are like, hey, handsome, like, oh, so good to see you, let's make you food, let's put on some movies, what do you want to do, right? Like, it's nice to be treated that way. But then on the bad side of it, the first time actually that I spent the night with them, one of them, the guy was really frustrated with like a work thing that was going on, and in the middle of it had to go take this work call and was really frustrated about it and came back and was just really upset, and it was his sort of upsetness and like, I don't know, feeling of like missing out on stuff that had been going on while he had to go take this phone call he was pretty upset about that, and so his partner was rushing in to like try to make him feel better, help with that, and I was kind of doing my best, and I found myself kind of freaking out about being like, oh god, like I'm the source of this problem in this existing relationship, and they're gonna have this fight, and it's my fault because I'm the new factor here, because I don't know what their relationship is. Maybe this is normal. I don't know, but in that situation, I actually was honest with them and was just like, hey, I'm feeling real weird right now. Like, I kind of want to go. And the other part of me just wants to, like, curl up in a ball and cry. And I explained, you know, like, I feel like I'm causing a fight with you guys. Like, I feel this is bringing up a lot of stuff for me from my past relationships, and I'm worried about that. And they were just... they instantly were like, oh, that's okay. Like, if you want to cry, that's fine. I was like, I don't know. I don't really want to. And like,
like, I really just wanted this cheese plate.
Oh, right. And then both of them at the same time came over and like hugged me and held me. And then I was just like, oh my God, like having these, like being able to be honest with them and having them come to me with like, no, like, please don't worry about that. We both care about you was kind of this overwhelmingly positive experience of having two people be like, hey, it's okay. We're here for you. You can get this out. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And things were great after that, you know, that we were able to actually have a real honest communication about it. But I do feel like if I'd gone into this situation without having thought about and talked about this kind of stuff with the two of you a lot for the 2 years before that, I don't know if I would have done that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have tried to, like, stick it out and then been like, that was horrible, I'm never doing that again, or if I would have just left and been angry about it or felt like I had fucked up or something, I don't know.
Well, that is that interesting internalized thing, because like usually the reason why there's a lot of unicorn stories that end in tears. Is that often that is the default, is that the problems get blamed on the unicorn, and you know, it's easiest to just kind of cut the third person out because that'll make things easier for the couple.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we won't have to fight about things. Maybe we won't have to negotiate things around this third person.
It's easy to forget that they are a person.
Yeah. But I think even on the unicorn side, they have that coming into it of realizing that there is this established couple and, like, mm-hmm. I'm the newbie here. Mm-hmm. And so if something right. goes wrong, like, I'm probably going to be the first one to be out of there.
Right. That they had never put that on me. Mm-hmm. But that's where my head went.
Yeah.
Right. And that's an important thing to be aware of, too, that I would bet, just because of the way we understand relationships culturally, that any unicorn coming in isn't going to assume that, you know, that it is going to be equal like that, like that, mm-hmm. that the couple would take responsibility for their own issues with each other. They're going to think, oh God, if this goes bad, I'm getting blamed for it.
Yeah.
Or even worse, if this goes bad, it is my fault.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the thought that I was having in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I bet a lot of people would in a yeah. similar situation
yeah.
as
yeah.
that unicorn. Yeah. yeah.
Did you want to talk about your triads?
I guess I can. I honestly, I thought that we were going to be fighting this entire episode because it's happened before. because, like, when it comes to unicorn hunting and, like, couples dating someone together, it's never something that I've done. I've been in triad relationships, but I've never been a unicorn, and I've also never been a unicorn hunter. And to be honest, I feel like as you start to cut away kind of the unethical practices and mm-hmm. start to really narrow down, like, this is a way to be a good, respectful, healthy person or couple in inviting this person in, it like, a lot of people are like, well, I'm out, you know? Like, a lot of traditional people, people who are unicorn hunters are like, well, that's too much. That's too big of a ask.
Yeah.
And so that's why sometimes I feel like, is this even possible? Obviously, through us talking about it, I, you know, kind of came around to that.
It's good.
Because, I mean, triads are great. Like, yeah. I've been in triads, but all my triads have started where it's like, I date someone, and then they're dating someone, and then maybe I happen to date that other person, too. Like, I happen to start dating my metamor, or
like
two of my partners.
This
like,
one?
Like these guys that happened in ancient history. Or, you know, that I was dating Jace, and then I was dating this other guy, and then mm-hmm. the two of them happened to start dating. That it just was kind of like these things just happened. But unfortunately, you know, when a relatively traditional heterosexual couple comes to you and is like, hey, we want to have a triad, that just telling them, well, just like let things happen and just be open to it and don't try to force it, that advice is not it's not taken very well, because people usually want to be like, I want to know the steps to make this happen, as opposed to kind of letting these kind of relationships form more organically, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is the heart of the disagreement here.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for a fight? Okay.
Go.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Well, right. So basically, this is where the disagreement comes in that, like Dedeker was saying, if she were attracted to both halves of a couple, that her approach would be like, well, maybe let's see, like, I might date you and I might date you, and let's kind of see if maybe three of us end up together. Whereas,
yeah, like, I want to explore the individual relationships mm-hmm, first before being like, okay, maybe we can try this all three of us together. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like Emily would be more on my side of this one, but I think that can be great, and like exactly in the examples that were just given with when the three of us were a triad, it did come about that way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And when Dedeker and her other partner and I were a triad, same thing, it happened that way. We started the other relationships first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that it is absolutely possible to start a relationship with, like, here's all three of us first. Mm-hmm. I will say that the important part that I think we're kind of getting at that does get lost is the idea that we may start kind of as a couple dating this person or bringing them in, or it's the three of us, but with the understanding
that it's going to change.
Each of those relationships can also exist on their own.
Yeah.
Right? That it's important to be clear with each other in the couple, and also to be clear with this new third person, that it's like, hey, you know what? If you also want to hang out with this person on your own, that's cool. And if you want to hang out with this person on your own, that's cool. We're also going to hang out on our own too, right? That those things are all okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the opposite approach to getting to the same sort of triad situation, though, where each relationship has autonomy, and it's not one person who's kind of at the mercy of another relationship.
It's just a different access point.
But I do feel like it is possible.
But they're all valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they definitely are.
I think a long time ago on an episode, like,
like a year ago, we said that like the true test was that if you as a couple could convince Dedeker to be your third, you can convince anybody.
That's true.
I've yet to be convinced. So
okay.
Well.
Challenge to you guys.
Try to rope Dedeker in.
Yes.
So we talked a lot about as a couple, as the established couple, trying to figure out your personal boundaries, your personal needs, why you would want to enter into this relationship, but obviously that's really important as the third person as well to figure out your own boundaries regarding this relationship that you're entering into. Mm-hmm. So some examples of that we just kind of touched on. I expect fluidity in this relationship. I know that it's going to change. I know that it's going to breathe and live as its own thing. And I may become more interested in one person than the other. One relationship may tend to escalate further or faster than the other one. That should be okay. And I don't want to be a go-between in your relationship. Like he said, she said, when you're out on a date with someone, I don't want to be that person trying to figure out things, you know, within the relationship. Also, I want to have autonomy in my relationships. I want to be able to have meaning outside of this relationship to you. I want to be able to have an established relationship with each of you. Those are just some examples of boundaries that you may have as a third person.
I think I would argue as a third, if you are someone who is open to dating a couple, that it's probably the most important for you as the third to be clear on what your boundaries are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that like, is and not what, talked about a lot.
Yeah,
it's not a thing that one thinks of.
But figuring out like what you will and won't tolerate. Like, am I okay being in a relationship where you don't talk about me to anybody?
Yeah.
Am I okay being in a relationship where... like, I'm never going to meet your family.
Yeah.
Am I okay being in a relationship where I'm never going to go on vacation with you? And yet, there, like, of course, there are some people who are okay with that. But if you're not, you know, the tendency is to, you know, the third, for the sake of just wanting to get something from the couple, some energy, some time, some affection, will be really willing to compromise on what it is that they're willing to tolerate. So it's so important to be able to be clear on what it is that your own boundaries are and what it is that you will and will not put up with, essentially.
And what are deal breakers?
Yes.
And I think part of this is because, like we said, as this third, a lot of the time, you weren't even looking for it. I know some people will seek that out specifically, but a lot of people, it's just like, hey, you know, I'm just hanging out as this fun bisexual person.
in the
that's
world.
That's
here I am.
Doing my bisexual dance.
It would be nice if people, you know, displayed
identify,
in that way.
It would make things a lot easier.
You need to put the unicorn head back on.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, they're doing their thing, and then this couple comes up, and it's like, hey, we're a couple. You want to date the two of us? And they're like, oh, God, I never thought about that, but that seems like everything I want. Great. I'll do it. Without, you know, if you're not seeking it, you're not going to put a lot of that thought into what are my boundaries? What are my deal breakers? What are the things... Not only, you know, what do I want, but what do I need? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the things that if I don't get this, it's like, well, sorry, I can't be in this relationship.
No.
Because we don't think about it.
No. So what are we going to do for the third?
Yeah, so if we're going to bring it down to brass tacks.
Yes.
Like, what can the couple do or what can they convey to, like, really make sure that the third feels safe and empowered and autonomous in this relationship?
Yes. So for this, we wanted to come up with a list of things that you and your partner, if you're considering having a third person in your relationship, and I'm trying to avoid calling them a third because that term is also like saying our girlfriend kind of makes them seem peripheral, right? That they're kind of owned by the others. But by adding a third person to your relationship, that kind of having this list of things that we need to be sure that the two of us are cool with giving to them and that we're okay with the relationship, you know, being this way. And then also to communicate to them. Because it's one thing to say like, yeah, we're cool. We're not going to do those things to them. But if they don't know, they might, like I did in that situation, put that on themselves and eliminate themselves from a relationship or put the blame on themselves without you even doing it. So it is really important to communicate this to them as well as being clear on this for yourselves in the established relationship. And so I do want to give a quick shout out to the Secondary Bill of Rights.
Yes.
Which is by Franklin Vo. Has anyone here read that or heard of it? And like a couple of years, yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah, okay, a couple.
It's
of
pretty amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's this thing that Franklin Vo and one of his partners back in like the early 2000s, late 90s, yeah. sometime around then, they came up with this thing called the Secondaries Bill of Rights, and this is not about triads or threesomes specifically. This is just about if you have a primary relationship and then you can date other people and you think of them as your secondary partners, what are the rights that that secondary partner should have? And it's things like the right to privacy or the right to be able to have their own relationship or the right to be wanted by everyone in the relationship and not be just tolerated by somebody. Mm-hmm. Things like that, that even if they're going to be secondary, they should at least have these rights. So we did pull some things from that,
yeah.
And tried to find the ones that applied the most to this kind of triad dynamic.
Yeah.
And then also the Relationship Bill of Rights is related to that.
Yeah. So I think that, if we're talking about rights, I think unicorns should have the rights, like you were saying, the right to be able to have separate autonomous relationships with both mm-hmm. people and the couple, if they want that, mm-hmm. That they should have the right to be able to communicate separately with both halves of the couple. And going along with that is also, I think, the right to privacy. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, actually surprisingly difficult one to honor, because if you are an established couple, you're probably used to sharing everything with each other.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Positive, negative, gossipy or not,
yeah.
and not really realizing, oh, we may be violating the privacy. Maybe right. this person has shared something in confidence. Mm-hmm. They only feel comfortable sharing with this one person, but we've shared it.
I love that quote from Yumi Her. For those of you who listen to our poly in television and film, mm-hmm. Television and movies, mm-hmm. sorry. That they were talking, the third was like, were you guys talking behind my back? And she's like, well, we're married. We're always talking behind the whole world's back, right? Like, that idea that somehow that's okay. That because yeah. you're married, anything one of you knows, the other gets to know.
Mm-hmm.
That might not necessarily be true
yeah.
when respecting the privacy of this third person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we would suggest with that, over-communicating about it. Because mm-hmm. maybe you could say, like, well, okay, I'll just tell this third person, like, hey, we're going to talk about everything. So just, like, keep that in mind. But I would say if you're talking about something, especially if it is something heavy, right? If they're talking to you about some traumatic experience that they had in the past or something very private about their family or something like that, to ask. Ask before you tell rather than later. But say, hey, like, is it okay if I talk to Jen, my wife, about that? I now have a wife named Jen.
And a girlfriend named Rachel. Who are these people that you're talking about?
Right?
Oh my God.
My whole polycule is imaginary.
Yeah. That explains right, so much.
Right, like, is it okay if I talk to Jen about this? Or this seems really serious. Have you talked to her about it already? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Right, something like that. And then I would say also, if you're sharing something with them or with your partner or whoever, if it is something you do want to be private, to kind of think about that and be like, oh, hey, like, just, don't share this with the other person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it's something about them, you're entering some dicey territory. But if it's just something about you personally, then, like, yeah, don't share that with this other person yet. Maybe I'm not ready to talk to them about it yet.
Yeah.
But, like, over-communicate rather than under-communicate and hurt someone's feelings or be hurt later on.
And then relationships don't have to be equal.
Yeah, I think that is a right that, like, you... because also a very common unicorn hunter expectation is we're going to find somebody and she needs to be equally attracted to both of us.
Yeah, and that the relationships with both people are just going to go on the same trajectory and you're going to equally be interested in them at the same time. Yeah. But that's not necessarily going to happen and that has to be okay.
Yeah, so kind of the right to be able to, I don't know, be a human being and just be attracted to who you're attracted to, regardless of what somebody decides for you.
And you're going to do your best to meet everyone's needs, but it's not going to necessarily always go how you initially expected it to, and that's okay.
And I would say for people who've been polyamorous for a while, might have a better understanding of this than someone who's new to it, but if you do have a number of relationships that last a long time, you do see that they kind of ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. I might become a lot closer and more intimate with this partner for a while, and then we might grow a little more distant, and then we might become closer again later on. That things can ebb and flow and change over time, and that if you're dating this couple, that understanding that could happen, and it's not necessarily going to happen with both of them at the same rate.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think related to that, I think another right that a unicorn should have is the ability to date whoever they want.
Yeah, that's also outside of the relationship,
outside of that couple, that they should, if they want to have an autonomous dating life, that should be guaranteed to them.
Absolutely.
Polyfidelity is the term that we use for if there's a group of people, you know, if it's a relationship of more than two people who want to close their relationship, so you can only engage sexually or romantically with the people within that group. If all the people in that group or that tribe decide that, great.
But it shouldn't be just automatic.
It shouldn't be imposed. Yeah, it shouldn't be like exactly. The terms of being with us is that you need to be, only with us.
Yes.
I would also say it's not something to rush into.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if the couple has an issue, it's not automatically going to be the third's fault.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one that may be even more important to make sure the third knows that than it is for the two of you, because you might already know that. Like, if you've got an issue over something, like, you might know that's your own thing to work on, but they might not. So it's
or
really
if you like need
to...
time to work on something, it's not blaming the other partner,
right?
Or saying like, we're not going to see you right now because we need to work something out.
Yeah. I do want to also say that in addition to being able to have each of those relationships exist on their own, the two things, it's important that they can also hang out separately with them. I know we touched on that briefly earlier, but I wanted to make sure this is in this section of these kind of key things to agree on. And that also, even that communicating separately is okay.
Yeah.
So say you have like a group text conversation or a group Facebook conversation with the three of you, that everyone knows right up front, and I think it's better to be clear about this than to just kind of do it and hope for the best, but to say, hey, also the two of us are going to have our own thread, and these two are going to have theirs, and we already have ours because we've been in a relationship for a while. But just to be clear that, like, you can't only talk to me in the presence of this other person, right? Whether it's digitally or in person.
And I think the last one, obviously there's many more than what we've come up with for just this episode, but kind of the really big one is that all parties, the unicorn, both halves of the couple, all parties have the right to be involved in a discussion about any decision that affects them. So as in, if the couple's going to make a decision like having a baby, like moving to another town, like changing the structure of their relationship, anything that's going to affect the unicorn, that the unicorn has the right to at least be present for that discussion. You know, maybe it doesn't mean that automatically, you know, if you've been dating this person for a week, it doesn't mean that they get equal say in where to buy a house.
No, you will not move.
But they need to be brought into that. You know, they need to be not kept in the dark.
And not just told later on, like, by the way,
bye-bye.
Our relationship's
changing.
And that's a generally a good rule for polyamory in general, for any kind of relationship structure where you have multiple partners, is that, you know, if a decision's going to affect someone, they need to be brought into that discussion. And they need to be made aware of that. And at the end of the day, you know, we've laid out our list of rights and the things that we think are, you know, the correct or proper ways to be a good, healthy communicator, a good, healthy relationship, a good, healthy unicorn hunter, as it were. But at the end of the day, it's important to just be kind and curious, or courteous.
Curious.
That's good, too.
Curious, too.
Curiosity.
You know, make the choice to over-communicate rather than under-communicate. You know, kind of make the choice to be a little bit more compassionate for another person's feelings rather than less. I always tell people just to choose trust over fear, which is so much easier said than done. But I think that it is a good kind of general guiding light to have whenever you're exploring something new.
Like, as a personal example of this, in terms of sort of what your rules are, or kind of what's, you know, what these rights are versus what's courteous and kind, is say it is okay for you to hang out separately, that you don't all three have to hang out at the same time. If you are going to hang out with one person without the other, to let them know. To let them know in advance, ideally. Or like, oh, hey, we have some free lunchtime. We're going to get together right now. And that's something that I've made the mistake of not doing that before and being like, mm-hmm. well, what? Like, that's allowed, right? Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't being courteous about it. I wasn't being kind about it and saying like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to let you know because I have to, but I'm going to let you know because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing, especially if it's a trad relationship that lasts many, many years. I think eventually you may,
it gets
may
a little
be able
easier,
to do
maybe.
It with being able to like let everybody know every time someone's hanging out. But but especially kind of when things are new, it's good to kind of just make sure to keep everyone in the loop.
Absolutely.
My favorite phrase is don't tie your shoes in a watermelon field. Does anyone know what that means?
Well, because they've listened to it.
We know the you now.
So where it comes from is the idea that if you're walking in a watermelon field and you bend down to tie your shoes, you're just tying your shoes, but to the farmer who's half a mile away, it looks like you're stealing a watermelon. And he's going to get his gun out.
And kill you.
And kill you. Maybe not kill you, but maybe stick the dogs on you or something like that. And so it's kind of like... err on the side of being more open, more honest, more truthful rather than less. You know, even if you're not doing something wrong, just to even avoid the appearance of doing something wrong or something underhanded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good guideline.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Well, is that everything we wanted to talk about?
I'm
sure they're probably sick of us by now. So, as you guys know, this is our second to last show on our tour.
Yeah.
We're doing a show in San Diego in early March. We're also going to be at the Infinite Love Retreat this weekend,
Woo!
Which we're super, super excited about.
Yes.
I made the first tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Scott mentioned, I did write a book. That just came out like a week and a half ago called The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory.
It's phenomenal.
They think it's phenomenal.
Yes, I do.
Anyway.
Agreed. We got some second opinions
over
here.
Yeah. Thank God. Okay, thank God. As a published author, I'm very happy to sign any copies that you may want to purchase this evening. They're available for purchase in the same place where you buy the wine. What else do they need to know?
They need to know, that we are on the interwebs. Go to multiamory.com or search for us on iTunes or pretty much just type multiamory into a browser, you will end up finding us somehow or another on Twitter or Reddit or Facebook or all those things.
Yes.
So you can find us there. Check out all our cool stuff.
Also, thank you to my beautiful bedmate for most of the tour, Paul.
Where is Paul?
Paul!
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Oh, Paul. Yes. Paul has been just unbelievably fabulous on the entire tour. He has helped us sell things. He has kept us sane.
He's bought us caffeine.
Yes, he is wonderful. And also to Molly, who helped out this evening. There you are, Molly. Yes. Thank you so much. You're wonderful, both of you.
Thank you for coming to help out with this show as well, Molly. And then we also wanted to thank Theater Unleashed for letting us use this venue.
This beautiful cabin.
If you guys do enjoy, 99th Seat Theater in Los Angeles, they're doing their show right now, which is called Cannibals Alone. It's an all-female cast about cannibals out in a cabin, right?
And also, I'm in a show March 4th called Company in Santa Monica. Sorry, it's far away. Come see it.
All right, that's it. Thank you, Los Angeles.
Thank you, Los Angeles.